UST. Together, we build for boundless impact.
House panel could decide to release former President Donald Trump's tax returns to the public. More on the big questions lawmakers are asking. And can a massive spending bill clear Congress before holiday recess?
While the betting is that the pressure to get things done and go home for the Christmas holiday is going to force passage of this bill by Friday, that's not yet a done deal.
Plus, nonstop holiday music means some retail workers aren't simply having a wonderful Christmas time. It's Tuesday, December 20th. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal. This is the PM edition of What's News, the top headlines and business stories that moved the world today. The House Ways and Means Committee is meeting behind closed doors, where lawmakers are likely to review former President Donald Trump's tax returns. The committee gained access to the documents late last month after the Supreme Court denied Trump's request to block the panel from obtaining them from the Internal Revenue Service. The panel could vote at the end of its meeting to release some of the documents. That hadn't happened at the time of this recording, but here now to explain how we got here is our tax policy reporter, Richard Rubin. Hi, Richard. Thanks so much for being here.
Hey, thanks for having me.
So first, Richard, it's been a pretty protracted battle for the House committee to even get these documents, more than 3 years. How unusual has that process been?
It's super unusual. In the normal course of things, when the House committee asks for tax return information, which they do for investigations, for oversight, for analysis, they get it. This was an unusual case in both that we knew that they were asking, because normally the requests themselves are private, and that it was blocked in part because President Trump at the time was in office and in charge effectively of the Treasury Department, which didn't hand over this information.
What are the key questions lawmakers have about Trump's tax returns?
Well, the ostensible argument from House Ways and Means Democrats about why they want these returns is to conduct an investigation, some oversight into how the IRS audits presidents. And it is an interesting conflict of interest. The president's in charge of the executive branch, which includes the IRS. So that can be a difficult relationship between presidents and the tax agency. What they say they're interested in mostly is how that audit went while Trump was president. Now, there are plenty of other things that people will be looking for that might give us some indication of how much income he reported, how much taxes he paid, what charitable donations he made, all of those things. And so I think people will be looking for things beyond just those audit questions.
Tell us how lawmakers from both parties are approaching this.
Right. So Democrats, I think, are approaching this as about the audit process and about accountability for the former president. And Republicans are saying this is a bad precedent, that this basically sets up the situation where future Congresses can come along and request anybody's tax returns. Like, the law doesn't specify president. They could request your tax returns or each other's tax returns and through a committee vote make things public in the same way that they're looking at in this case. So that's their argument, is that this is sort of a bad precedent. They haven't yet, and we'll see what happens, defended President Trump necessarily about anything that might have happened, but they definitely have said that Democrats are going down a road they shouldn't have gone down.
That's our tax policy reporter, Richard Rubin, and we have ongoing live coverage of this story on our website, WSJ.com. Manufacturer 3M has pledged to stop making so-called forever chemicals, or PFAS, and stop using them across its products by the end of 2025. Forever chemicals got the name because it takes them a long time to break down in the environment. Manufacturers have used them in products from food packaging and cleaning products to nonstick cookware. But the Environmental Protection Agency says research has linked exposure to some forms of the chemicals to health problems, including cancers and thyroid disease. Wells Fargo has reached a $3.7 billion deal with regulators to settle allegations that it harmed more than 16 million people over the course of a decade by illegally assessing fees and interest charges on loans for cars and homes. The Consumer Financial Protection Bureau says the settlement includes the agency's biggest fine ever at $1.7 billion and more than $2 billion in customer restitution. In a statement, Wells Fargo's CEO said the agreement is part of the company's work to transform its operating practices and put the issues behind it. And Netflix's new ad-supported subscription tier was the service's least popular option in its debut month. Subscription analytics firm Antenna says the plan accounted for 9% of new signups in November and represented 0.2% of its U.S. subscribers. Netflix launched the ad-supported plan in early November in a push to diversify its revenue and expand its base of subscribers. The company says there are inaccuracies in Antenna's figures and that the company is pleased with how the ad-supported service is doing. Coming up, can a massive spending bill clear Congress by the end of the week? We'll discuss after the break.
Technology can make the world better. At UST, we're building a future where people everywhere are empowered to live better lives.
It's transformation you can feel.
And you don't have to do it alone.
We believe in the power of technology to transform businesses and build a better world.
Staring down an end-of-week deadline, lawmakers today released a broad spending bill for the next fiscal year, with increases in military spending and domestic funding. But it'll be a last-minute sprint for the Democratic-controlled Congress to get the bill passed before lawmakers recess for the Christmas holiday. Joining me now from the Capitol with more on what's in the bill and the battle ahead is Wall Street Journal congressional reporter Siobhan Hughes. Hey, Siobhan, thanks for being here.
Good to be here.
So, Siobhan, this is a wide-ranging bill covering everything from aid to Ukraine to projects in lawmakers' home districts. There is a lot to unpack here, but let's talk about the big highlights and the biggest line items here.
So the big highlights are the $858 billion in military spending. This is a mammoth increase. It's up about 10% from the prior year, above the inflation rate, and it reflects in part this notion that the U.S. wants to pivot towards more defense readiness, maybe being a little bit prepared for any potential confrontation with China, funding to help Ukraine and NATO allies combat the Russian incursion. A lot of the stockpiles that the U.S. sent to Ukraine have been depleted, and so those need to be replenished. This really puts the U.S. on much more of a militaristic-minded footing than it has had in recent years. Paired with that, of course, is also an increase in spending on domestic programs, a wide range of domestic programs, child care programs, for example. There is an extra $5 billion for veterans' health funding after Congress expanded benefits for veterans in August of this year. And it includes another tens of billions of dollars to help areas affected by wildfires and droughts. So it just touches on really every part of the government.
So this is pretty down to the wire, but we have been here before. So Siobhan, what happens procedurally between now and the end of the week?
The Senate is first expected to take up the bill, followed by passage in the House. Of the two chambers, the hardest lift is the Senate, where at least 10 Republicans are going to have to join 50 Democrats in order to clear the procedural hurdles in the way of getting this bill past the finish line. We're already seeing a number of Republicans suggest that they might object to quick passage of the bill. They might insist on amendment votes or debates. And while the betting is that the pressure to get things done and go home for the Christmas holiday is going to force passage of this bill by Friday, that's not yet a done deal. There are some Republicans who may want to make a point they're unhappy. This bill was released in the dead of night. It's so sprawling, they haven't had time to pass it. The bill was negotiated by a small number of people behind closed doors. After that passes, the bill next heads to the House, where the suspense is not over whether that chamber will pass the bill. Democrats are likely to drive it through. It's whether Democrats can pass this with any Republican support. The issue is that Republicans would prefer to extend negotiations into next year, when Republicans will be in control of the House and therefore would have greater leverage to shape the contents and composition of this legislation. It's also worth noting that the top House Republican, Kevin McCarthy, has a stake in delaying negotiations until next year. He's trying to look tough for the conservatives in his conference, who may not want to elect him as House Speaker unless he shows a little bit more muscle in his dealings with Democrats.
All right, so a lot of wrangling going on. What are expected to be the major issue battle lines here between Democrats and Republicans?
Well, there are going to be a couple. Number one, there are some Republicans who don't like the fact that earmarks were included in this bill. Earmarks are where individual lawmakers get to steer money towards pet projects in their home districts. There is going to be some unhappiness on the part of some members about the level of defense spending. It's a gigantic amount. It's something that may even make the Bernie Sanderses of the world balk. And then a large bone of contention has to do with the process. Again, the fact that this bill was negotiated by really only three appropriators in all of Congress, with details finalized by the top leaders in Congress. And so the rank and file lawmakers have largely been in the dark about the contents of this bill. And it's only for the past really 11 or so hours that they've had a chance to dig in and find out what in fact they're being asked to vote upon.
That's Wall Street Journal congressional reporter Siobhan Hughes joining me from the Capitol. Siobhan, thanks so much.
Good to be here.
And finally, it's allegedly the most wonderful time of the year, but for retail workers, it can feel more like purgatory. With holiday playlists packed with Jingle Bells, Santa Baby, and Last Christmas running on a never-ending loop, the Christmas classics can become a bit grating during an 8-hour shift of force-fed jolly. Former mall worker Greg Larson endured the merry medleys for years.
After a while, all the songs sort of bleed together. They're all just one big song.
But our reporter Joseph Pisani says there's one song in particular that has these workers wishing for a silent night.
The Mariah Carey song, All I Want for Christmas Is You, is one of the most popular Christmas songs. It goes to number one during Christmas. She promotes it. It's everywhere. So they're hearing it over and over and over again. This one bar manager, she put a sign on the jukebox at the bar saying that nobody could play All I Want for Christmas Is You before December 1st. And then after December 1st, they can only play it once a day. And a bartender would have a remote and they can just skip the song if it is played.
And the pushback is coming from more than just sales associates and barkeeps. There have been at least three petitions on change.org seeking to ban Carey's holiday hit from the radio. Carey's representatives declined to comment. And that's what's news for this Tuesday afternoon. We'll be back tomorrow morning. If you like what you hear, please rate and review us. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal.
This message comes from Viking, committed to exploring the world in comfort. Journey through the heart of Europe on an elegant Viking longship with thoughtful service, destination-focused dining, and cultural enrichment on board and on shore. And every Viking voyage is all-inclusive with no children and no casinos. Discover more at Viking.com.